We have some guest speakers this morning. So today, I'd like to invite up Isabel. Isabel is our very faithful CR ministry leader. She has been here leading CR for 15 years now. Yeah. And we wanted to say thank you for leading CR for so long. I haven't been here for most of it, but you've made an enormous impact in my life. And I wanted to say that even though you are seldom recognized here, you are famous up there. So, thank you.
Thanks, dude. Have a bed. Have a bed. Oh, okay. Wow. It is a little overwhelming sometimes. First of all, those two young men, I'd like to hire them for Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights. I don't know who their agents are or whatever, but I'd like to hire those two young men. They did an amazing job, and I appreciate that. So about a month ago, I guess, Tim contacted me and reminded me that it's 15 years. And I honestly can't believe it's 15 years, but God has been doing amazing, amazing things at Celebrate Recovery. And he asked me to come up and share what God has been doing. And also, later on, you're going to hear from some of the leaders. So let's put the first slide up, and let's get going. So our purpose at Celebrate Recovery is to restore hurting people with the help of the Holy Spirit, and to teach people how they can manifest their healing, and to train others to become mentors. One of my biggest responsibilities now is to train up other leaders. Healing and freedom will come through discipleship and intimacy with Jesus. We have a saying at CR, if your past is still affecting your present, then it really isn't in your past, is it? We encourage everyone to build a strong personal relationship with Jesus. This is what Joyce Meyer says about healing. God wants you to be delivered from what you have done, from what has been done to you. Both are equally important to him. Thanks, Dave. That's my team. So we have 13 trained, born-again, spirit-filled, prophetic leaders at Celebrate Recovery now. Oh, well, yeah. Three men leaders and 10 female leaders, and Dave, the one he's actually in training to be a leader. So all have dealt with some traumatic event, and all have been set free. You'll hear from 6 of them this morning. The other 6 you will hear at the 11 o'clock service, and they will share their story about what Jesus has done in their lives. At CR, we disciple people one-on-one, and our focus is on healing the wounded soul. We teach people principles, biblical principles, on how to manifest your healing. So we operated a food giveaway for almost 8 years. We just shut that down last year, or maybe this year, I guess, we shut it down. And we had many salvations, many healings. It was an amazing thing that God asked us to do, but it became very, very much bigger than what we thought, and it basically became a ministry unto itself. So we did shut it down, and we're just hoping and believing that somebody else will be able to pick that up. And a couple years ago, we started and realized that the people that were coming to the food giveaway really needed to know more about Jesus. And so we took it to prayer. We started a new believers class. And Amanda, another Amanda, who's not here today, who is a Celebrate Recovery leader, she took it upon herself and started this class. And we birthed this new ministry. And that ministry has now been renamed. It's called Foundations for Life. And it's now being co-led by Amanda and Christine. So here is my message for you this morning. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You've heard this many times. Your mind holds your thoughts, and it needs to be renewed with the Word of God. It is your responsibility to do that. Your emotions are your feelings, and they will be healed as you partner with the Holy Spirit. And your will are your decisions, and they must begin to line up with God's will for your life. So when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spirit is made perfect. Yes, you have been delivered from the power of darkness and bought into the kingdom of the Son. Yes, you have been redeemed through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, but you still have the same bad habits and sinful strongholds that you've had before you were born again. You still have to go through the process of sanctification of your soul. Your hurts, habits, and hang-ups need to be worked on over time. God wants to heal those who didn't have a healthy father figure while growing up and now use pornography to feel loved. He wants to deliver the people who have turned to addictions such as drugs, sex, food, and alcohol to soothe the pain of their past trauma and sins. God wants to help those who were rejected by their family and not loved the way they should have been when they were growing up. He wants to liberate the people who are carrying guilt and shame. He wants to comfort the many women who have been sexually and physically and emotionally abused, and there are way too many of those. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to set the captives free, and he wants to free the prisoners who are bound. Did you know that 90% of mental illness is about trying to avoid the pain? The life of the believer is supposed to be one of victory. Christians should be casting out demons, prophesying over people, praying in their prayer language, laying hands on the sick, and raising people from the dead. Jesus said that we would be doing greater things than him. Unfortunately, through circumstances that were often out of our control, things happened to us and we got traumatized. We experienced things, often when we were young in our dysfunctional families, that have shaped our beliefs about God and about ourselves. When we suffered these traumatic events in our lives, doors opened in our souls for the devil to attack and torment us. Yes, there is a devil. Satan targets our minds. His weapons are his lies. His purpose is to deceive and make us ignorant of God's will and his ways. He does not care what we believe as long as it hinders our relationship with God. The only time Satan has authority is when we believe his lies and we give him our authority. We are not to get comfortable and cope with the devil. We are to cast him out and resist him. Luke 9:1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out the demons and to cure diseases. And Luke 10:19, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And by no means shall anything harm you. So you must know your authority over the enemy to have this victorious life. So I'm now going to talk about strongholds, how they work, how they control us, and how to free ourselves from them. Somebody say amen. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, worldly weapons, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, reasonings, and mindsets, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So this scripture says many things. It says that there is a battle. It's the first thing it says. That there are strongholds, that the weapons that we are going to use are not of this world, so they're not guns and knives and fists and words. But what are they? They're mighty in God for destroying these strongholds. These weapons that God has given us in his word will break off our strongholds, our wrong reasonings, our wrong mindsets, the lies, and everything that prevents us from knowing God. These things will be taken down and out of your soul, out of your mind, and bring us in line with Christ and his ways. So strongholds are in our minds, and the battle is in our minds. So how does one get a stronghold? You get a stronghold by believing something about yourself that is not true. That's right, Vienna. These wrong beliefs were established from trauma or perpetual sinning or through patterns we picked up in our dysfunctional family of origin. So the next thing that happens is we start to believe this lie. The door to your soul opens, the enemy begins to influence you and deceive you and torment you through that door. Again, only if you let him. The devil begins to bring situations in your life that trigger you and cause you to think on the lies and to reinforce the deception. If the enemy can taunt and speak to Jesus, he can speak to you too. If this thinking pattern continues, you will begin to think on these lies over and over again in your head, and you will develop a false sense of identity. Like, I'm not valuable, I'm not lovable, I'm not smart enough, I deserved what I got. And these patterns of thinking start to dominate your life. So if you don't deal with the lie and the event that caused you to believe the lie, you will then try to fix the agitation yourself by soothing yourself with some emotional and addictive behavior. You'll begin to use and abuse maybe alcohol or drugs or food or watch porn. Maybe you believe that getting depressed will help. Maybe you become a perfectionist. Maybe you'll become anxious. Some people have panic attacks. How many people have had panic attacks? Come on. All right. We'll have a party afterwards in the hall. So what happens? The deception will take root. A habit begins to form. You start to believe that doing these destructive behaviors will somehow ease the pain inside of you. A lie. You will start to believe God is far off and unable to help you. You'll begin to believe that God, that he doesn't really care, that he would not have let these things and bad things happen to you. We are bound because we have believed in a lie, and that is how you get a stronghold. The reason people are not getting free is they don't know how to address the problem. What most people try to do is they try to get rid of the symptom. Everybody comes into Celebrate Recovery wanting to get rid of the symptom. What they need to do is determine where the lie began and deal with the root. The root is the event or events that made you start believing the lie. So now, I'm going to tell you how to get better. Get your pen out. Come on now. So first thing, you must believe the truth of God's word, that you are already healed and you're delivered from your issues. By his stripes, you are healed. Amen. If there are any demonic influences over you that are oppressing you, you must take your authority and command those demons to leave you in the name of Jesus. It's your responsibility. If you only keep casting out the devil and don't fill the empty space with the word, you'll be worse off. And how do I know that? Well, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 12:43-45. So after you have taken your authority and cast out all these demonic influences, what's left over are the deceptive thoughts and habits that you have developed to soothe yourself. So you must begin to ask yourself in the Holy Spirit questions. What are the lies that I have been believing about myself? When did these lies first come into my mind? When you were 10? 15? What were the events that led me to believe the lies over the truth of what God says about me? The Lord will show you. The next thing you need to do is confess any and all known act of sin in your life and repent of it. As you do this, take great comfort in this promise from God. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. You must renounce the lies and forgive the people who hurt you. Sometimes when I'm talking to people about forgiveness, they always come in and say, oh, I've forgiven that person. I said, oh, so have you had them over for dinner? They go, no way, I'm not having them over for dinner. And so you realize that I know as Christians we're told to forgive people, and sometimes we rush to that process too quickly. I'm not saying we shouldn't forgive. I'm just saying sometimes we rush to that process too quickly. Once the root cause has been dealt with, which can be a very emotional and a painful process, you can ask any of these leaders that are here. You must surrender to and partner with the Holy Spirit. Why? So he can go deep inside your soul and heal the pain of your past. He will correct wrong patterns of thinking and establish new strongholds of truth and remove everything that is not pleasing to him. As the Holy Spirit restores you, he will retrain your wills to choose thoughts, values, and behaviors that bring him praise. We will help you with this step. It's a little bit more complicated. So what keeps you from being deceived? The answer is found in John chapter 8, 31 to 32. If you abide in my word, continue living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus went on to say in John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring your remembrance to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. I say again, you must know the truth, listen to the truth, declare the truth, meditate on the truth, which is the Word of God, continually renewing your mind until the lies you have believed are replaced with the truth of God's Word. You must begin to make declarations about who you are in Christ. And lastly, we must use your weapons of warfare. So I'm just going to give you one of them today, and that's found in Ephesians 6, 10 to 11. It says, finally be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through the union with him in the power of his might. This is what it tells us to do. Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts, his rules, are like the splendid armor of a heavily armored soldier. So you may be able to successfully stand firm against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. And verse 13 says, therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious. It goes on in verse 14 through to 18, but talking about each of the pieces of armor. And every piece is about battling deception. And wearing this armor means you are protected and can withstand every attack of the enemy. This is a command. There are many more weapons of warfare that I don't have enough time this morning to go into. We teach these weapons at Celebrate Recovery about binding and loosing and praying in tongues and applying the blood and fasting and much more. So these are my closing slots for you today. Dealing with the root cause is paramount to being set free. The Christian life isn't a process of getting from God. It's a process of learning to release what you already have received in your spirit the day you got born again. The Holy Spirit is responsible for leading us into truth and to perfect us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit heals and restores us while we do our part, which is renewing our minds with the Word of God. We must understand that all the elements for healing have already been established, that all we need to do is to walk into them and apply them to our lives. So the last slide I've put up there says, you must know who you are in Christ. So I just want everybody to stand. Oh, there's exercise. That's it. We do decrees a lot at Celebrate Recovery. And so I just want you to repeat after me. And after we do the decree, then I'm going to start inviting up some of the leaders to come and share. So repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, I declare that nothing is impossible for me. I am a child of God. I am more than a conqueror. Everything that doesn't inspire hope in me is a lie. Everything that makes me feel powerless is a lie. I am far from oppression, and fear does not come near me. I have received the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and to see them recover, to cast out demons, and to speak in new tongues. I have power over all the power of the enemy. I declare in the name of Jesus, I will live by truth. I am in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, righteousness, peace, and joy are my normal. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I have the mind of Christ. I have power, love, and a sound mind. I have been forgiven of all my sins and washed in the blood. And I'm greatly loved by God. Amen.